If you are taking or have recently finished a course of antibiotics, be sure to take the probiotic at a different time of day than when you take the antibiotic, and include the strain Saccharomyces boulardii. Two additional supplements that can deliver extra support, particularly as you get older, are glutathione and CoQ10, which are made in the body but decrease with age. These anti-aging antioxidants improve mitochondrial function and your energy levels. Look for acetylated glutathione for maximum absorption and ubiquinol CoQ10 for the same reason. It's important to buy supplements that use the best ingredients and are free of harmful preservatives, fillers, binders, excipients, anti-caking agents, shellacs, coloring agents, gluten, yeast, and lactose and other allergens. The top tier brands available from health practitioners include my line Be Well, Thorn Research, Ortho Molecular Products, Designs for Health, Metagenics, Zymogen, Life Extension, and Pure Encapsulations. The next tier down, a little less potent but still safe, and available at health food stores, includes Jarrow Formulas, Garden of Life, Blue Bonnet, Cow, Source Naturals, Solaray, and Renew Life. The website labdoor.com evaluates supplements for safety, efficiency, and purity. Its database is still small, but it can provide useful snapshots on mainstream brands. Supplements are important because if the raw materials required for metabolic reactions aren't coming from food, the body will scavenge them from your bones, liver, or other tissues. Repair your gut. Two of the most important things you can do for your health are protect your gut microbiome and reverse any gut dysfunction that is occurring. In simplest terms, an imbalanced microbiome occurs when the pro-inflammatory species of bacteria in the gut dominate the anti-inflammatory species, and when the proper diversity of species in the gut is highly compromised. This is caused by many of the factors described throughout this book, including highly processed and genetically engineered foods, chemical inputs and medications, hyperhygiene, chronic stress, poor sleep, and lack of exercise. Unfortunately, an imbalanced microbiome is a fairly common state of affairs, and it goes hand in hand with leaky gut. Over time, the inflammatory toxins released by the imbalance, along with damaging effects from the stresses mentioned earlier, combine to make the gut wall's one cell thick lining lose its integrity. The cell's tight junctions start to weaken and let partially undigested food particles and toxins slip through into the bloodstream. This triggers inflammation and a slew of immune system hyperreactions. When you consider that this gut wall lining has the total surface area of a tennis court, but is thinner than tissue paper, you can imagine how influential it is to your whole physiology, and how easy it is to damage. The symptoms that result from leaky gut can extend far beyond expected digestive problems, like gas or bloating, or even obvious food sensitivities and allergies. They can present as anxiety and depression, brain fog and mood swings, skin problems, like acne and rosacea, joint pain, muscle aches, fatigue, weight issues, and a weak immune system, plus more serious problems like autoimmune diseases, asthma, and according to new research, possibly even diabetes and obesity. The good news is that you can rebalance your microbiome and help repair the gut wall lining through diet, supplements, and stress reduction. No drugs necessary. In fact, some pharmaceutical drugs prescribed to manage inflammation due to leaky gut will make things worse. The microbiome is a flexible, living ecosystem that changes constantly, and the cells in the intestinal lining replace themselves every 3 to 6 days. As a result, with some commitment on your part, you can personally oversee a resilient rebuilding project that has the potential to turn your health around. One of the best ways to execute this repair program is to use a formula called the 5 R's. The five R's give you a basic template from which to create your own month-long repair protocol based on homemade food. It also forms the basis of well-designed detoxifying programs that use medical-grade nutrition and supplements, such as my Be Well Cleanse. I've given you an overview of the 5 R's. For more detailed guidelines on creating your own 5R program, or to discover ready-made programs that support this repair work, visit howtobewell.com. An out-of-balance microbiome can present with anxiety, depression, brain fog, sleep issues, and even memory problems. Remove the sources of irritation. Dietary toxins. These include sugar and processed foods, factory-farmed animal products, pesticide-laden foods, artificial sweeteners, and GMOs. Foods that trigger sensitivities. You can determine this by using an elimination diet. Gastric irritants, such as alcohol and caffeine. With your doctor's supervision, limit or try to completely do away with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and proton pump inhibitors. Chronic low-grade infections. Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, SIBO. Yeast, candida overgrowth, and parasites living in the intestines are extremely common. A knowledgeable healthcare provider can help diagnose and treat these with herbal antimicrobials, and occasionally medications if necessary. Replace what may be lacking. Fiber helps eliminate toxins and byproducts of food through the large intestine. Without fiber, your bowels move slowly, allowing waste to re-enter the system and create inflammation and toxicity throughout your body. Eat an array of colorful, non-starchy vegetables, berries, nuts, seeds, and some legumes, and or supplement with 1 to 2 tablespoons of psyllium seeds, flax seeds. Grind these yourself in a clean coffee or spice grinder to ensure freshness, or soaked chia seeds. Hydrochloric acid is required to start the digestive process. If it is depleted, natural bitters before meals can help stimulate gastric juices, as can a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar mixed in some water. A supplement of hydrochloric acid is sometimes required and is best introduced under a health professional's supervision. Digestive enzymes help to break down food and make nutrients easier to absorb and assimilate. The more food is broken down, the fewer problems come from partially digested and potentially irritating food particles. Re-inoculate with beneficial bacteria to re-establish a healthy balance of microflora. Daily probiotics support and rejuvenate the microbiome to rebalance, assist with digestion, help your body make vitamins, aid in the absorption of minerals, strengthen the immune system, improve metabolism, and affect your mood. Fermented foods support this even further. Prebiotic foods act as fertilizer for the good bacteria. Phages are the new story in gut supplementation, and some of the latest probiotic blends include them. Short for bacteriophages, these are beneficial viruses that infect and kill microbes, help the beneficial bacteria to reproduce, and even protect the epithelial layer in the gut by concentrating in the mucus layer that protects that lining. Repair the gut lining with the good building blocks it needs. Glutamine supplements support immunity and digestion by fueling the cells that line the small intestine. Omega-3 fatty acids from a well-sourced supplement help the gut rebuild healthy cell walls and improve the tight junctions between the gut lining cells. A good multivitamin helps to remedy the nutrient deficiencies that commonly accompany leaky gut syndrome, even in those eating a healthy whole food diet. Bone broth is full of gut healing and soothing nutrients like collagen and gelatin. A diverse whole foods diet, replete with non-starchy vegetables, healthy proteins and good fats, delivers the vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, amino acids and phytonutrients needed to repair damage and rebuild healthy new tissue. plus the enzymes the small intestine needs to heal. Include a diverse array of health-building foods to encourage a robust microbiome that can act as your reliable blockade against infection and disease. Relax to keep stress at bay and encourage better sleep. Mindfulness and other stress reduction techniques support your healthier gut, as stress can lead to bacterial overgrowth, leaky gut, and inflammation. And don't forget to eat mindfully. Two of the most important things you can do for your health are protect your gut microbiome and reverse any gut dysfunction that is occurring. Boost your detox functions. Two types of toxins add up to create the total burden on your body. Endogenous, which are created as natural waste products of metabolic processes, and exogenous, which include environmental inputs such as chemicals and heavy metals. To support your body's ability to detoxify itself of both, try these two simple habits. Sweat. Work up a good sweat regularly. It helps flush out toxins from the body and control body temperature. Intense exercise and hot yoga are two ways to do this. Saunas, especially infrared, are another. Saunas and similar heat treatments have been part of preventive health protocols for eons. Their heat stimulates circulation, which lowers blood pressure, relaxes tight muscles, eases minor aches and pains, helps balance cortisol, and is shown to improve the functioning of the arteries by supporting the endothelial cells that line them. When you're feeling sick, saunas also help by boosting the immune system's white blood cell response to invaders, making them especially protective. Infrared saunas are my preferred option because they run at a lower heat than conventional ones, making them safer for those who can't tolerate high heat. The infrared waves penetrate deeply despite that lower temperature, helping to generate more profuse sweating that excretes more toxins. Aim for a couple of relaxing 15 to 20 minute saunas per week, and be sure to stay well hydrated and shower right after so as not to reabsorb toxins. You can find infrared saunas at gyms, yoga studios, and dedicated locations near you, or consider installing your own from companies like Clearlight and Sunlighten. Brush. Dry brushing your skin before bathing helps it regenerate. Your skin is your largest organ, and it is responsible for 10 to 15% of body elimination. By gently sloughing away the dead cells that are left as skin regenerates, you decrease the load on the major detoxification organs, the kidney and liver. Dry brushing also aids in blood circulation and has a profound cleansing effect on the lymphatic system, an important filtration system that helps push toxins through and out of your body. It only takes 3 to 5 minutes to do this small self-care act. Here's how. Purchase a natural fiber body brush from a health food store or online natural lifestyle retailer. Long-handled ones are best for those harder to reach areas. Step 1. Starting at your hands. Run the brush up each arm toward the heart several times, covering all areas. 2. Stroke the brush from your feet to the tops of your legs in the same way. Step 3. Use circular clockwise strokes on your abdomen and armpits. Then repeat these areas with a counterclockwise motion. Step 4. Brush your chest, breasts, and any sensitive areas of skin lightly. Step 5. Brush upward over your back and then down from your neck. You can also brush in a circular motion on the palms of your hands and soles of your feet. Step 6. You can end with a warm shower or bath, followed by a toxin-free body oil or lotion. Then relax and enjoy the benefits. People are fed by the food industry, which pays no attention to health, and are treated by the health industry, which pays no attention to food. Wendell Berry. Unwind. How did we lose sight of the off button, and at what cost? Most of us live in a state of almost permanent on by necessity if not by choice. The demands of work, family, relationships and debts, plus the pressures to perform, produce and perfect ourselves have never been higher, or existed so simultaneously at every age and stage of life. The powerful attention economy of technology and media forces conspires to keep us online and hooked into endlessly updating streams of information. It can be mind-bogglingly challenging to find points of stillness and relief, moments to unwind the hyped-up mind and relax the tensed body, to come back to your center, find clarity, and touch peace. But finding these moments is a must. When you are subjected to ongoing mental and physical demands, but deprived of rest and recovery, your whole nervous system takes a toll. You have heightened stress responses, which not only feel terrible, they negatively impact every system in your body, create anxiety, and disrupt sleep. You can lose resolve around food and movement. When stress creeps in, good habits can creep out, and you can get tangled in negative thinking that sabotages your best efforts to be well. Unwinding is central to healthcare in many wellness traditions. Meditation, mindfulness, breathwork, and soothing touch are not luxurious extras. They are daily essentials for managing imbalance and maintaining the body's healing power. You may not be able to escape to an exotic spa or Zen retreat, or magic away all the stresses you face, but these things aren't a prerequisite to unwind. Just invite some low intensity into every day. Carve out small moments to relax, restore, and just be. And know that these quieter habits are not pampering or self-indulgent. Just as night follows day and winter follows summer, stillness must follow activity. They are two sides of one whole. Clear your space, clear your mind. Are there mountains of laundry in your bedroom, dirty dishes in your sink, piles of papers taking over your desk? When was the last time you cleaned out your closet or garage or reorganized your office? If your home or workplace is cluttered and chaotic, there's a good chance that your head is too. I'm reminded of the quote that goes something like, "The state of your space represents the state of your mind." Organization experts believe that space and mind work seamlessly together. So it's tough to know which came first, the clutter or the overwhelm. What is clear, however, is that a disorganized space can make you feel even more disorganized by supporting negative thoughts that zap you of hope and motivation. Every time you glance at that growing peak of laundry, dishes, papers, it's easy to think, "I'll never get my life together. I'm always behind. Everyone else is doing better than me." Then, before you know it, these thoughts have become the guiding principles of your life. Unlike other aspects of existence that really are bigger than you, you have complete control over the state of your space. You are the one who decides if you can't find your bed because it's covered in unfolded laundry. Yes, life is full, and it's easy to deprioritize cleanliness and organization. But small daily efforts and creative organizing hacks can help you maintain your spaces so you can focus on the things that really matter. A good start is to adopt a philosophy of never putting off doing something that takes 5 minutes or less to do. Emptying the dishwasher? 5 minutes. Folding the laundry? About 5 minutes. Putting your clothes away? 5 minutes. You can also limit clutter by making it easy to keep things off the floor or from piling up in common spaces. Containers are key. Kim Colwell, interior designer, feng shui expert, and friend of Be Well, suggests placing decorative baskets in each room of the house to give you and your family attractive, practical receptacles to house unfolded laundry, toys or newspapers and magazines. You can buy inexpensive baskets at IKEA or garage sales. Keep your eye out for these treasures, and spray paint them interesting colors. You can also drape attractive fabric over the tops, so you don't have to see their contents until you have the time to attend to them. Your breath as a pathway to peace and calm. Your breath is the most effective all-natural emotional management tool that you're probably not taking advantage of. Free and ever available, breathing is a surefire route to calming the mind and relaxing the body. Yet most of us take it for granted. Like blinking, breathing is a bodily function that is both involuntary and voluntary. You breathe all day, every day, rarely noticing the air entering and exiting your lungs. But this action takes on new power and meaning when you use it intentionally. Bring your attention to your breath, and you'll begin to make connections between how you feel and the way you're breathing. There is a clear link between your emotional state and your breath. When you're afraid, you hold it. When you're anxious or stressed, it's quick and shallow. And when you're relaxed and happy, your breathing is slow and deep. This all happens unconsciously, as a natural reaction to outside stimuli, or the content of your thoughts. On the flip side, you have the ability to use your breath to regulate your emotions. Deliberately breathing deeply, in and out, in a slow and steady fashion, reduces the heart rate and activates the calming parts of the nervous system. This is why we instinctively ask someone who is visibly upset to take a deep breath. Conscious breathing disrupts the swirling vortex of anxiety that's become a fixture of our go-go-go culture. It slows emotional reactivity and gives us access to our intuition, helping us make better decisions. When your breath is deep and steady, you are grounded, clear, and focused. You don't need to be a meditation guru or yoga practitioner to tap into the power of the breath. Conscious breathing is easy to learn and can be practiced anywhere at any time. At your desk, sitting in traffic, or online at the post office. I recommend that clients start slowly by spending a few days simply bringing their attention to their breathing, an act that mostly goes unnoticed. Check in with your breathing right now. Is it speedy and shallow, located primarily in your chest and throat? Or are your breaths longer and deeper, coming from your diaphragm and belly? From there, you can experiment with altering your breathing patterns, extending the inhalations and exhalations, feeling your lungs and ribcage expand as you draw air in, and contract as you expel it. As you become more familiar with your breath and more confident in your ability to breathe consciously instead of being breathed unconsciously, there are a few simple and powerful exercises you can practice whenever you'd like to feel less anxious and more grounded, or simply want to relax deeply. You don't need to be a meditation guru or yoga practitioner to tap into the power of the breath. Belly Breathing 101. Place your hands on your belly, just below your lowest ribs. With your mouth closed, bring the tip of your tongue behind your top front teeth, where they meet your gums. Take a slow, deep inhalation through your nose. Draw your breath all the way into your belly instead of breathing shallowly into the chest. Notice your diaphragm moving downward, and with your hands, feel your belly and ribcage filling like an expanding balloon. When you take in no more air, exhale slowly through your nose until all the air is out of your lungs. You'll feel your belly falling under your hands. Breathe this way for 10 rounds. A complete inhalation and exhalation is one round. As you continue, see if you can extend the exhalation, aiming for an out-breath that is twice as long as the in-breath. Breathing this way will help to quiet spinning and anxious thinking, and bring you back into your body and the present moment. The 4-7-8 breath. Your breath is an ally that can support you through emotional turbulence. The next time you find yourself swept away by anger, fear, anxiety, or extreme sadness, activate your built-in calming system. I recommend the 4-7-8 breath for an easy and effective way to soothe your nervous system and find your center again. You can use this technique whenever you're struggling emotionally or when you need to prepare for a performance of any kind. To start, Place the tip of your tongue behind your top front teeth at the gum line. Purse your lips as if you are going to blow out a candle, and exhale completely through your mouth, making a whooshing or sighing sound. Then close your mouth and inhale through your nose for 4 counts. Hold the breath for 7 counts, and exhale back through the mouth for 8 counts. Repeat this breathing cycle for 10 rounds. While the belly breathing and 4-7-8 techniques come from long lineages of pranayama or yogic breathing, the vanguard of intentional breathing is a method devised by an iconoclastic Dutch adventurer named Wim Hof. His technique involves a series of deep, rhythmic inhales and exhales, followed by moments of holding the breath. Proponents, which include many high-performing athletes and plenty of ordinary people, including members of my Be Well team, say they feel energized, clear-minded, and focused, as well as stronger and more physically capable after the practice, which in its fullest expression involves an invigorating but optional cold shower. Credible research has shown immune system benefits, as well as inflammation and pain reduction benefits from the technique, which markedly increases oxygen saturation in cells and helps the body perform more effectively. And the optional cold shower appears to help ramp up fat metabolism and boost mitochondrial function. If you are curious about using the breath to maximize performance, go to wimhofmethod.com and note that it's important to follow all the cautions listed on the website. This is not a practice for pregnant women, those with cardiovascular or other serious conditions, or those intending to take a bath or go swimming right after. Tame the tech beast. We live in an era of infinite scrolling and endless connectivity. Our devices are our constant companions, stashed in our pockets throughout the day and all too often by our bedside all night, jammed with apps to help us travel, eat, shop, and even move more efficiently. Our smartphones are close to outsmarting us. The statistics are staggering. The average American child between 8 and 18 is in front of a screen for 7 hours each day. 74% of teenagers check their devices every hour, and most teens send 3,400 texts a month. Their parents aren't much better. The average adult checks her phone every 13 minutes. While the benefits of technology are real and plentiful, increased productivity, access to vast amounts of information, support in achieving and maintaining our goals, we are now experiencing the harmful side effects of our near-ceaseless techno-binging. At the top of the list is hyper-connectivity. Gone is the time when workdays had finite beginnings and endings. It's now possible, sometimes even expected, to bring your work to the dinner table and your kids' soccer matches, all at the expense of necessary downtime, real-life connections with family and friends, and your natural biorhythms. And it's become a norm to live in a cascade of interruption, as notifications ping us and push information into our mental space, hijacking our attention. Non-stop access to social media, news feeds, and constant streams of information dissolves the boundaries that keep us balanced and healthy. Being incessantly clicked in disrupts our ability to make and maintain genuine human connections, get deep and adequate sleep each night, and feel content with our own lives. We feel obligated to keep up, to show up, and to check in, voraciously consuming photos and videos of the perfectly curated lives of others, instead of living fully in our own realities. The average American child between 8 and 18 is in front of a screen for 7 hours each day. The more we gaze longingly at our colleague's dreamy-looking Caribbean vacation, the more we feed a cycle of unmet desires, powered by a super-savvy algorithm. My in-house psychiatrist, Dr. Ellen Vora, calls this the evil genius of social media. When you hover over shots of someone's exotic getaway or a particularly intoxicating pair of shoes, you'll start to see more vacations and more shoes in your feed, perpetuating the belief that everyone is more well-travelled and well-shod than you. There is a real echo chamber effect that can reinforce whatever hypothesis you have about how the world works. It's all fake news in a way, Ellen says. You can get really swept up and draw conclusions. Meanwhile, you are not enriching your inner life, say with good literature, or relating to people, or exploring the world. We are effectively marketed to by corporations that exist to make you feel you must purchase, strive, and improve at all times. We are not encouraged to do the things that make us love the ones that we live with and be content with what we have. There are a few disturbing clues that can tell you if you've been sucked into the vortex of a technology addiction. Have you ever strategically planned to have an actual interaction with an actual human being, requesting a face-to-face meeting with a quickly typed IRL, in real life, a text acronym that feels straight out of the Twilight Zone? Or maybe you've consciously included analog experiences in your life, such as a picnic in the park or dinner for two. These real-life experiences are becoming the exception, not the norm. It's not entirely your fault. Checking Instagram for likes, Facebook for updates, and inboxes for the next email or text activates the same pleasure receptors in the brain as drugs and alcohol. You get a rush of the happy hormone dopamine. But the search for the next high takes a toll, from tech injuries and dry eyes. Sometimes you even forget to blink, to anxiety brought on by FOMO, fear of missing out, comparing yourself to others, and depressing news feeds. The biochemical impact of constant exposure to the electromagnetic fields and blue light emitted from our electronics adds further layers of invisible disruption. The flood of products and content designed to keep you hooked in is not going to cease anytime soon. Creating an alternative digital reality in which you set the boundaries can be daunting, but it's definitely within reach, and it can, quite drastically, improve your state of mind and quality of life. I recommend there be at least one room in your house, or one period during the day, where it looks like you're in the 1950s, free from a pixelated screen of any kind. This is the tech-free zone, and all family members and visitors must adhere to its rules. Then, pick a few of the easy-to-implement tactics from the following list to help wrestle your life back from technology, while still remaining connected in the places that you need to be. 10 smart tactics of digital self-defense. 1. Make the commitment to put your phone away during meals you share with others. 2. Take a weekly technology fast by dedicating one full day, Saturday or Sunday works well, to keeping your devices tucked away. Consider it a digital Sabbath. 3. Create tech-free periods during car rides or commuting. Dedicate these times to conversation, games, music, meditation, rest, reading, or quiet. 4. Turn off all notifications for new emails and messages, for every application on your computer as well as your phone and portable devices. 5. Create automatic messages for your time away from devices to let people know that you check messages only during specific time slots. This will alert them that your response times may be delayed. 6. Use technology to manage your tech habit. Apps like Moment, Freedom, and Break Free place timers on internet and social media use, or even block them entirely for chunks of time, so you can build a healthier, more balanced relationship with your devices. 7. Make the main screen on your phone home to only the very basic apps, for phone calls, texting, and maps. This will reduce the temptation to engage. Hide time-sucking apps like Facebook in folders on the second or third page to make them harder to access. 8. Save articles you want to read using the Pocket app rather than wasting time when you don't have it on must-read stories, and install an app called Intently, which replaces advertisements with inspirational quotes and images on your browser. 9. Take the bold stance of removing yourself from all social media and see what happens. Notice how you feel about not tracking the daily comings and goings of your friends and followers, and how much more time you have to do other things. 10. Consider leaving your phone at home. Remind yourself that the likelihood of an emergency that necessitates you be reachable is fairly low, and meanwhile, you'll remember what it's like to initiate your own communication and have deeper conversation. If technology addiction is taking over your family, I recommend the books Glow Kids, How Screen Addiction is Hijacking Our Kids, and How to Break the Trance by Nicholas Cardaris, PhD, and The Hacking of the American Mind by Robert Lustig, MD. Embrace optimism. When times are hard and you're feeling insecure, unsure, or simply unhappy, it's natural to feel the pull to share your feelings with others. Yet continually voicing your difficulties can push you down a rabbit hole of negativity, ironically leading to increased disconnection from others, a poorer outlook on life, and even compromised health. Optimism may seem like an inauthentic approach, but choosing to see the good in life is just that, a choice. Actively directing yourself toward a sunnier outlook doesn't have to be forced, and you don't have to jump from rain clouds to rainbows in a day. Instead, make a commitment to navigate the everyday happenings of your life from a slightly brighter perspective. This can be as easy as noticing your tendency to complain about things like the weather, your boss, your significant other, or your kids, and cutting it off at the pass. Do this by focusing on the good that's also in that situation or relationship. The good is always there. The world's simplest optimism exercise. Before you brush your teeth each morning, pause. Take 10 seconds to look at yourself in the mirror. Breathe calmly. Become present to yourself, and commit to seeing the good throughout your day. A sticky note on the mirror might remind you to do this daily. Whether you call it gratitude, appreciation, or thankfulness, become accountable to yourself by deciding to appreciate what you have instead of lamenting what seems to be lacking. Commitment made, brush your teeth. Then, before you fall asleep at night, take 30 seconds to review your optimism habit. How did you do today? Did the complaints outweigh the appreciation? Simply take note, then let it go. Tomorrow is another day. Optimism is learnable. Just like eating well or staying fit, it becomes easier with a little practice. Listen up, the healing power of sound. Chances are strong that music is already an established part of your life. Our soundtracks follow us, pumping through our headphones as we commute to work and hit the gym, and through our speakers in the car and at home. Whether you know it or not, you use music to energize, motivate, comfort, and soothe. How often have you caught yourself humming a tune, singing an addictively poppy chorus, or tapping your foot to an irresistible beat? We all do it. Music is part of the human condition, as ancient and primal as we are, and it's good for us too. Research continues to prove that music has the capacity to be so much more than a pleasant addition to a given moment. I often include music in healing protocols for my patients, strategically playing calming tunes during acupuncture sessions. The right music can induce an alpha state in a human being, that relaxed but alert feeling you find yourself in when activity ceases and you get a moment to reflect and recharge. When your brain is in alpha mode, you are liberated from the vice grip of never-ending to-do lists, non-stop social media updates, the 24-hour bad news cycle, and all of the anxiety they can produce. It's like a spa vacation for your nervous system, a state that can be consciously evoked and something that should be a required recharge for all 21st century beings. Sound healing can even induce a theta state, one step beyond alpha, the slow frequency brain state you get when drifting off to sleep or immersed in free-floating daydreams. Accessing alpha and theta states are not only about relaxation, though. Research has found that they are when the body does some of its most profound healing. Dropping into an alpha or theta state requires the right type of music. While techno or heavy metal may speak to you, they're not invited to this party. The music must have fewer beats per minute than your resting heart rate to guide you into a space of calm and healing. Choosing music in the 60 BPM range is usually a safe bet, though you can also check out the tracks composed of binaural beats. The work of Jonathan Goldman is often my first choice for helping my patients access those quieter states of body and mind. Jonathan is a premier sound healer, an expert in the field of harmonics, and his music is downright otherworldly, weaving together sounds from ancient religions, harmonics, mantras, and multicultural musical traditions. This is not the canned New Age music of the past. I encourage everyone to enjoy multiple doses of musical medicine. Four ways to heal with sound. 1. Download one of Jonathan Goldman's albums onto your phone. I recommend Frequencies for a best-of overview of his sound healing repertoire. For relaxation and healing anytime, anywhere, though it's best to avoid operating heavy machinery, including your car, after you press play. 2. Attend a sound bath. This emerging wellness phenomenon marries deep, intentional relaxation with sonic wave healing. Some yoga classes now feature live music like cello, harmonium, or flute, with or without vocalists. You can also search for local sound meditations and sound baths at wellness studios, spas, acupuncture clinics, and festivals. Even some boutique hotels, in which you lie in a state of relaxation, while practitioners create relaxing, stress-busting soundscapes using kundalini yoga gongs, crystal bowls, tuning forks, or synthesizers tuned to specific frequencies. A side benefit, sound bathers report that slipping into theta state, the bandwidth of intuition and insight, stimulates greater self-awareness and creativity. There are even hybrid experiences fusing meditation, music, and hands-on modalities, or small doses of cannabis-derived CBD oils for extra relaxing effect. 3. If those sound too dreamy for you, participate in a drum circle or drum healing session. Drumming in a group using hand drums is deployed to treat stress or trauma, enliven tired nervous systems, and quell anxiety and depression, and basically connect you to your primal self and empower you from the inside out. Plus, it's incredibly fun. 4. Listen to nature sounds like ocean swells and bird songs, whether at home or at work. This is another restorative option that creates an infectious state of calm in you and those who enter your space. Mindfulness. An essential tool in the modern human's toolbox. Mindfulness is a key word of the contemporary self-awareness movement, a lofty-sounding term that invokes something vaguely spiritual. But I see it as much simpler than that. In my own life, and for my patients, I frame mindfulness as the antidote to the multitasking epidemic plaguing much of modern existence. How often do you talk on the phone while driving? Fold laundry while watching TV. Interact with your kids while making dinner. Check Facebook while standing online at the supermarket. Doing multiple things at once may seem like a normal, even practical approach to managing a busy life. But this relentless juggling of tasks is taking a toll on our well-being. Scientists who study the multitasking brain are finding that doing more than one thing at a time actually makes us feel less like a productivity superstar and more like a failure. The truth is that it's impossible to fully focus on more than one task at a time. Our brains just don't work like that. Studies show that dividing our attention can overload the brain and reduce productivity by as much as 40%. And when it comes to dialing while driving, the negative potential is much worse. Mindfulness, defined most simply as clear awareness or genuine presence, is a way off of the multitasking hamster wheel. When you are mindful, you are fully in the here and now, keenly aware of your mind, body, and environment. Mindfulness is a moment-by-moment practice that you can implement any time of the day or night, and during any activity or non-activity. If you're washing the dishes mindfully, you're doing nothing more than washing dishes. You're feeling the warm, soapy water running between your fingers, noticing the weight of the plates and glasses in your hands. You're not daydreaming about what you're going to do this weekend or replaying an argument you had with your spouse. The same formula is applied when playing with a young child, meeting with a colleague at work, or listening to this book. When you implement mindfulness, you are fully engaged in whatever you are doing. Consider it monotasking. Cultivating this skill will help to reduce brain overload and will actually help you tackle each task with more efficiency by training your brain to focus on doing one thing really well. Mindfulness will also be your ally as we move deeper into the era of the selfie and the status update. It is extraordinarily difficult to remain present with what's happening right in front of you when there is intense pressure to remain constantly connected and plugged in. These days, we always seem to have one foot outside of our experiences, posting photos of our friends instead of taking them, taking stylized pictures of our food when we dine out, and fact-checking dinner party observations made by our table mates. Social media is the arch enemy of the present moment. Each time you lower your eyes to your device, you essentially leave the room, breaking human connection and adding more tasks to your brain's already overflowing list. Now you also have to come up with 140 witty characters, choose the right filter for that sunset photo, and stalk Snapchat to see what your ex-boyfriend is up to these days. In choosing to be mindful, you create healthy boundaries by committing to doing just one thing at a time, and in doing so, giving yourself the gift of sinking into everything the present moment has to offer. There's another bonus to this practice. With time, mindfulness helps you begin to develop clearer awareness of your inner experience, in particular, the dance of emotions and the swirl of urges that spur unhelpful actions, like reaching for a treat, drink or cigarette when under stress. Awareness, as simple as it seems, is the first step in loosening the grip of those habits. With awareness, you can notice the craving, but choose not to act on it. With awareness, you can even notice the thoughts and beliefs surrounding the urge, like you need that cookie or cigarette to calm down. You now have a small space to look at that belief and ask if it's true, rather than let it be a controlling trigger. How to practice. Mindfulness is an ongoing practice, a moment-by-moment decision to be exactly where you are right now. You can choose to be mindful at any moment of your day. Why not start now? Feel the weight of a book in your hands, or feel your device if you've chosen to read electronically, but stay with this book, no social media. Notice your butt on the chair. See the words on the page. Sense the temperature of the room. Whenever in doubt, simply follow your senses to quickly and easily click into mindfulness. What do you see, feel, taste, hear, smell in this exact moment? Remember to notice the rise and fall of your breath, your pathway into presence. When you're tapped into your senses, you are mindful and present. This is something you can practice anytime, anywhere. Doing multiple things at once may seem like a normal, even practical approach to managing a busy life, but this relentless juggling of tasks is taking a toll on our well-being. Why meditate? Once an esoteric practice reserved for yogis and monks, meditation has made its way into the mainstream. Meditation apps are a big hit on smartphones. Bright and modern meditation studios are available for drop-in sessions all across the country. And it's not uncommon to see someone meditating on the subway or on a park bench. No, they're not sleeping. Like mindfulness, meditation is an essential ally that can help you manage the pressures of contemporary life. Consistent meditators understand that the value of the practice is not so much about reaching some vaulted state of nirvana or enlightenment, but about reaping the benefits that become apparent when they're not meditating. Meditation cultivates adaptability and resilience and reduces reactivity. A steady practice can help you manage strong emotions and ride the choppy waves of life. Whether that looks like an angry teenager, a demanding boss, bumper-to-bumper traffic, or anything in between. A regular meditation practice helps create a foundation from which you can never be fully rocked. There's also a growing field of research on the physiological benefits. The practice has a remarkably positive influence on the brain, helping to improve attention, memory, processing speed, and creativity. And it may even counteract the age-related atrophying that can lead to cognitive conditions like dementia. Meditating is also linked to decreased blood pressure and reduced stress and anxiety, which is why a daily practice primes the pump for easier sleep onset at night. Thankfully, you don't need to commit to a month-long silent retreat to reap the enormous benefits of the practice. Regular sitting for as little as 10 minutes a day can have positive effects. As for learning how to meditate, there are many options available. Apps like Headspace and Calm, books by established teachers, and even YouTube demonstrations. But nothing beats working directly with an instructor. Although books and apps are a good introduction, it's easy to get discouraged and give up if you feel you're not succeeding. Building a relationship with a teacher will help you develop and maintain a lifelong practice. I asked Lodro Rinzler, a friend and chief spiritual officer of Mindful Meditation, a meditation studio with 3 locations in New York City, to answer 4 common questions about meditation. 1. There seem to be so many meditation styles out there, from ancient techniques to modern apps. How do I know which one to pick? Do some people shop around? It's a bit like a musical instrument. I recommend trying a few out, seeing which you really connect to, and then going deep with that. But the shop around period is important. The one thing I always recommend is making sure you're studying with trained and certified teachers who have learned a technique from a teacher who studied with a teacher and on back hundreds, if not thousands of years. Often in the West, when we talk about meditation, we're either talking about time-tested techniques that stem from the Vedas, a 5,000-year-old oral tradition of mantra-based meditation, or my tradition, Buddhism, which dates back 2,600 years. Perhaps the most well-known practice within Buddhism is mindfulness of the breath, which is a particularly potent technique for anyone looking to be more present with their day-to-day life. 2. Once I've picked a style to try, how do I begin? What is the strategy to develop an ongoing practice? Once you learn a practice, consistency is probably the most important component to really get going. A consistent type of meditation, consistent amount of time you do it, consistent time of day, consistent environment in your home, and consistent pacing, taking the time to do it every day until it becomes a habit. Taking 10 minutes a day to bring your full attention to your breath is a great beginning. We all have to start somewhere. 3. What are realistic expectations to have about meditating? Should I expect to go deep and find lasting peace and enlightenment? Meditation takes longer than we'd like it to when it comes to seeing the effects. We do become less stressed out, more productive, better sleepers, and more. But it takes training and time. In the same way that you wouldn't go to a gym once and expect to lose 10 pounds, you can't meditate once and feel forever peaceful. But in both situations, the more you do it, the more you see the results. Along those lines, the biggest misconception about meditation may be that we should all be able to sit down and turn the mind off. That would be like asking the heart to stop beating, which would be equally hard to do. We have between 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts a day, so it's a good idea to expect that thoughts will come up and to think of meditation as a way to become familiar with your mental landscape. The more we do that, the more we befriend and ultimately learn to love ourselves. 4. What kind of support is out there for modern-day meditators who really want an ongoing practice but need a bit of help? I always recommend working with a teacher, either in a group setting or one-on-one. Having someone in person is great, so they get to know you and can help you with your posture, keep track of your journey and more. Going to a class helps hold us accountable, and nothing beats the energy of sitting shoulder to shoulder with a number of people who are doing the same practice you are. That's a big part of why we founded Mindful, to make meditation as accessible as possible. For people who don't live near a meditation studio, there are Buddhist centers around the world. I recommend Shambhala and online platforms. You can even take classes with me and other teachers I recommend via Mindful Video, mndflmeditation.com. I also recommend the pragmatic technique of Vedic meditation, which helps the body release stress and drop into a state of deep restfulness, and is a favorite of the Be Well team. Meet the teachers at vedicmeditation.net. Meditation is an essential ally that can help you manage the pressures of contemporary living. Just say no. In our overcommitted, overworked, often overwhelming day-to-day existence, there is great power in a tiny word. No. This one syllable can have a big impact when and if it actually escapes from your lips. Saying no is easier said than done, as we are incessantly asked to show up for professional and family obligations, and are always working to be the best employee, parent, spouse, friend, and neighbor, not to mention always being available to others thanks to technology. We tell ourselves that we have to deliver at top level, no matter what, and too often feel obligated to show up for everyone who reaches out to us. These goals are beyond aspirational. They're simply unreachable. And as you stretch yourself to unimaginable lengths, something must get sacrificed. If you put too much on one plate, it's guaranteed to spill over. And usually what gets sacrificed is your own well-being. Things like rest, exercise, personal restoration and connection, as well as healthy food, get pushed aside as we strive to dig up reserves for the most precious commodity, time. The pervasive overcommitting that plagues our society is not without consequence. Terms like burnout and chronic exhaustion are becoming commonplace. Seemingly healthy, vibrant people are hit with stress-induced conditions like shingles and IBS, and some are even hospitalized when they break down mentally and physically from the intense pressure of their lives. The good news is that you are the one who controls how much you take on. Though at first it can feel challenging, even scary to say no, setting limits is a preventative step to protect your well-being and a definitive way to advocate for yourself in a world that will ask you to give until your well has run completely dry. When you say no, it's like you are drawing a protective force field around yourself and what you have to offer. Knowing when to do this requires paying attention to the red flags your body and mind might be flying in a desperate cry for help. If you are feeling deeply fatigued or depleted, you may have to decline social invitations so you can get to bed early or recharge with a good book or hot bath. You may have to opt out of that extra project at work or that volunteer shift at your child's school that would make you look superhuman. You're not superhuman. You're a regular human like the rest of us.